Hey, everybody, let's all lean in together.
Show the world you support women at work and at home.
When men lean in, everyone wins.
Help women aim high.
My brother would always pick me above his friends to be on his basketball teams.
It's moments like that that you carry with you forever.
Hi, men. Are you?
Call the show at 253-535-7332. Once again, for those of you scoring at home, that is 253-535-7332. Guys, I just got one word to say.
Pause. I feel like, Christian, me and you could hang up our headphones, walk out of the studio, and Kellen could do this whole segment on his own and argue with himself and be a great monologue, and we could just leave.
We'll see.
Well, don't you guys want to hear it?
Come on. What do you got for us,
Kellen? I got one word, guys. Kobe.
Kobe. Oh, I'm done with you. I'm not hanging up my headphones.
Kobe.
Here we go. He's retired. He's out. He's gone.
He was on Ellen last week.
They won 17 games. 17 games. Go. The only reason anyone cares about the Lakers because it was Kobe's last season. They were almost as bad as the Sixers. Leave.
They lost
to
the Sixers.
No one cares.
So, guys, I don't really think we got to give Kobe the respect that he deserved for his 60-point game as much as I feel like we should have. You know I brought it up 2 weeks ago. It was a quick segment, you know, and I just feel like, you know, he deserves a little bit more attention. You know, the fact that he took 50 shots, some people think it was selfish. Some
he
people
shot 44% from the field. It wasn't selfish. Who is he going to pass to? I'll defend him there.
I appreciate
Who
that.
Is he going to pass to?
Some people think that he
Swaggy
left the game. He's on the bench.
Yeah.
Some people thought he left his last game of his career with a bad taste in people's mouths, while others like Jay-Z, Kanye West, Snoop Dogg, David Beckham, The Weeknd, and Jack Nicholson thought it couldn't have been scripted better.
I agree.
And I totally agree with you, and I'll tell you why. I said 2 weeks ago, I think that that performance was a little bit more impressive than the 81-point game. The reason being is because the pressure of that game to play well, to leave your last game on the highest note possible, like you said.
Your 17th win of the season?
16 wins on the season going into that game. Guys, Drew's being so disrespectful. Papa Artisone, I know you're raising better. And just the price of the tickets, knowing that all these people have flown in to see this game, knowing that if you bought the ticket, you know, 8 months ago, you almost had to give it back because they were going to sell it for a bigger price. So knowing all these details, knowing that it was, you know, and it got bumped to ESPN2, which I respect because the Warriors deserved that 73-game win. But it's funny because they win 73 games, and in my opinion, the most important story of the night is Kobe Bryant scoring 60 points in his final game. Shaq courtside as well. It was so much fun to watch. And in my opinion, he misses his first five shots. You can tell he's pressing a little
bit. Oh, he missed
those
first five shots. They were ugly.
They were ugly.
IT took his second shot. I was like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
And it's funny. I kind of felt like Christian. I felt loyal because I wanted to turn it off, but I didn't. I said, you know, I'm going to stick with Kobe. A lot of people did turn it off. They're like, oh, my gosh, I can't do
it. We talked in the gym before that game. We were lifting together. We talked. And what I said, I said two things were going to happen. Either he was going to go out and he wasn't going to hit a thing, or he was going to go out and he was going to have 60.
You said 60?
Yeah, I said 50. I said 60. You guys have 60. And you were like, I hope it's the second one. I said, you know what? Kobe broke my heart for so many years as
right.
a Kings fan.
But
I hope it's 62. I hope it's 62. Hey, just remember, the guy who called us the Sacramento Queens is now a part owner of the Sacramento Kings and Shaquille O'Neal.
He's a part owner of the Queens? Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Correct. So go easy on your Queens references over there. I'll actually defend Kobe when you're done, when you're off your soapbox. I'll defend him a little bit, but I still don't like the guy. I can respect him. I don't like him.
And that's what his commercial for Nike was all about.
I can respect him.
You don't have
don't
to
like
love
him.
You can hate him, but at least respect him. You know?
I agree.
And so the final, you know, he was 5 for 5 from the field in those last 3 minutes, 4 from 4 from the free throw line. But the degree of difficulty in those shots that he made at the end, knowing and if you watch the Jazz, I mean, it was almost like they were starstruck. You look at the shots they took; they weren't even close. I mean, the execution from the Jazz down the stretch, in my opinion, had a lot to do with everyone's just like, this is Kobe's stage. And not that they weren't trying, but it was like they don't even know how to run their offense anymore. They're taking threes, trying to bank them in. It was pretty funny, Drew.
I mean, it was that game. I tweeted throughout that entire game. I think that's one of the most active, probably most active times I've ever been on Twitter between that and the Warriors game. And you know, the Warriors broke the record.
Yeah.
No one cared.
I know.
Nobody cared because everyone was watching. Like I flipped between the. I watched Kobe miss his first five shots.
Did you flip back the?
And
Warriors?
I flipped back to the Warriors game because I wanted to see Steph break the record.
Yep.
Saw Steph tie the record, changed it back. Watched the rest of the Lakers game. We turned on the first part of halftime just to see Steph, you know, break it in the second half, which is what he did.
Yep.
Broke it in the second, and then I watched the rest of the Lakers game. Okay, because the Warriors game was a foregone conclusion in my mind. They weren't going to lose that game.
If the Warriors game was a little bit closer,
it would have been. It would have meant something.
That right there, that's the reason why no one cared about the Warriors breaking the record. It was expected that the Warriors. You don't get that close. You don't tie it.
No one expected for Kobe to go out and have 60 in that
game. That's why it was more.
I mean, here's the deal. Here's the deal with Kobe. I mean, he broke my heart in Sacramento for so long, so it's so hard for me to say anything nice about the guy. But he.
So did Robert Horry.
Oh God, Robert Horry. Oh. He's the most clutch player of all time. Just ask him. So here's what here's my little Kobe spiel. I mean, you talk, you sit over there, Kellen, you talk about, you know, all the tickets and all the people and all that stuff. The Mamba don't care. He doesn't care about all that stuff. He never has. He's never cared about public perception. He's never cared about what people think of him. He's, you know, the boos to him are cheers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He loves it.
Right.
And he is the master competitor. I felt like when, you know, he was getting booed or whatever, he just blocked it all out.
Yeah,
He was in his zone. Do you think he had one care in the world about what was going on around him once that ball went up in the air? Absolutely not.
That's a great point.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
He was on a mission, you know, and everyone said, I mean, Dan Patrick said it, Rich Eisen said it, Cowherd said it. He said, I don't remember one player's last game. It doesn't define them. Their career defines what they are. But then Kobe goes out and does that. That defines his career. That is very storybook. Do I think it was more impressive than 81? No.
Okay.
Because the way he scored 81 was much more impressive. It was on less shots.
46 shots.
It was on less shots, and it was more efficient, and it was scarier and more forceful.
Yeah, that's fair.
His 81 was scary. Like, you were watching him, you're like, this man is unstoppable.
But you think of Drew, a 37-year-old, just to get 50 shots up is impressive.
Just for him to go that 50 long.
50 shots? Before,
he wasn't supposed to play the whole fourth quarter. You know, Byron Scott was going to yank him. And, you know, he was going to figure out a way to, like, you know. And then you heard it because they had them both mic'd up on the bench.
Right.
And he said, you have, you know, 12 minutes left in you in that old body.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looked at him, he said, I guess I have to. And he said, because he said he understood at that point it was for the fans in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Like, he understood, like, these people were here to see this.
Yeah.
And so he was going to put on a show. Did he care? Probably not. But he wasn't going to let him lose that last game.
Right.
I knew no matter how far away that game was that Kobe was going to at least make it interesting.
And that's what was cool, Drew, is they were down by 9 with 3 minutes to go, and Kobe had the last 17 points. So if they had lost the game.
I still don't believe that. I was watching the game, and I was in utter disbelief. It was fantastic to watch. I mean, he's a stone-cold killer.
Like I said, I've watched that final 5 minutes 8 times, Drew, 8 times. And I'm like, I get surprised every time. I know what's going in. I still get goosebumps.
The best shot of the night was when he caught – it was the three to put him within one.
Yes.
Where he was completely contested, and he kind of like rocked Rodney
hesitation,
Hood. Rocked Rodney Hood to sleep a little bit, gave him the hesitation shimmy, and then put one up in his face. And I was like, wow, that was incredible. And then as soon as he hit that one, I was like, oh, he's going to hit the next one.
Yes.
And then they gave him so much room off that pick on that
I
one
know,
dribble pull
did.
Up. I was like, oh, that's a layup.
He went under the screen.
I wasn't even surprised. I was like, you went under the screen on Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Like, and it was so cool. The guy right to your right there, his face, you know, Kanye West, after that shot, Jay-Z's face, all those guys. It was so much fun to see these celebrities who are the greatest in their field.
Shock.
They were in shock.
I thought it was very storybook, too, that his career has last career stat was an assist to Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, that's pretty cool too.
That's
yeah.
pretty funny.
Kylie Cooley tweeted that. I thought that was pretty hilarious. Yeah.
That's pretty telling.
And I love what you said, Drew, about, you know, all the stars being there, because if you remember about 5 years ago, Chris Rock is courtside NBA Finals trying to get Kobe to laugh. Kobe is just a stone cold killer focus. It's on YouTube. It's a great clip. It just shows, but also Kobe was interviewed right after the game, and Lisa Salters was like, hey, all these stars are there. Kobe, how's that feel? He said, it adds to my focus. It doesn't distract me.
Yeah.
It adds to his focus. So I think he knew. I think Kobe Bryant plays, in my opinion, better in pressure than almost any athlete I've ever seen.
I agree. He's one of the more he's one of the more clutch guys in the league. Always has been.
Right.
I love Kobe. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that guy, the thing he does, but I hate him at the same time.
Yeah. So the tough deal of the week, I think, was it selfish? I'm glad that we don't really think it was because his players were deferring to him.
I mean, unless you've lived under a rock for the last 3 weeks, you've heard some of what Jason Whitlock had to say.
Exactly.
If you're a sports fan, you heard some of what Jason Whitlock had to say about Kobe Bryant. And I think some of it's founded and true. I think he
could have
taken a pay cut.
Yep.
And could have.
And I'm a Kobe fan. And I would
have helped
that
organization more than he had.
Exactly.
I feel like he was selfish in that way.
Mm-hmm.
The victory tour, I think, was well deserved. So I don't agree with I don't agree with Whitlock there. But I think he was selfish in the long term in terms of Lakers' success. I think that's also being. I think you can also blame that on the front office of the Lakers as well. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. It hasn't been Lakers basketball for a very long time. No. For about five, six years.
Yeah,
it hasn't been Lakers basketball.
I think this last game, Drew, really helped Kobe's. I know this is sad because his legacy is already so great.
Oh God!
But that last game, it kind of helped. Almost erased the last 3.5 years, the injuries. I mean, he's only played in a handful of games, and obviously he was a shell of himself after the Achilles. So, I think that last game is the best taste in your mouth. It's that last piece of pie. You know, it's that last fry in the McDonald's bag that's left. It's that last feeling in your mouth that you got to love it. And I think we have about 4 minutes here left in the segment.
Christian, is it? Can I drop a Kobe story on you guys, or is that okay? Or
sure, go for it.
Kellen, do you have time, or do you?
Yeah, I just want to. Can I ask you one more quick question, and then you can drop that story? So I have two tough deals a week. I just want to know, Drew, where do you think he ranks all in the all-time greats? I think Kobe.
And the all-time great. Lakers?
My top 10 is Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem, Bill Russell, Oscar, Magic, Larry, and Kobe at 8, Tim Duncan at 9, and LeBron at 10 right now. I think Kobe's in the top 10.
Okay.
I don't think he's on Mount Rushmore.
I respect that list. I have a lot of respect for that list. I think LeBron belongs higher on that list.
Okay.
I think LeBron
in front of Kobe
belongs higher. Not in front of Kobe, because I think Kobe goes higher on that list as well.
Okay.
I think it's very interesting that Magic Johnson dubbed Kobe as the best Laker ever.
I think
and
Magic
you have
is.
A Laker over him on that list. Matter of fact, you have 2.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great point.
So that's interesting to me. So, I mean, I don't know. I'll bring my list in someday of the best NBA players.
But you put at least Kobe in your top 10.
Kobe goes up there.
Cool.
I agree that Kobe goes up there. So here's my Kobe story. Kobe was not the only man to retire or leave the Lakers organization that night.
Gary Vitti,
the longtime trainer. Now, there is the – I don't know if you've heard the ankle story.
I have, but tell it still.
Have you heard the ankle story about Kobe when he sprained his ankle?
And it's great because I have a sprained ankle. I have a sprained ankle right now.
Tell it again. Ankles are popular right now. Go for it.
Yeah, so he sprained the ankle, and it was in the playoffs. I think it was in the Western Conference Finals, and he sprained his ankle, and it was bad.
It was bad.
It looked like Kellen's. And so, Kobe went to Doc Vitti and said, "I need to play. I have to play. We have to figure out a way. This can't work." He could barely walk. And Vitti said, "Okay, hop up on the table." So he put Kobe up on the training table, and he just started just pushing
massaging
on his ankle, just pushing. Kobe's on the table in tears, just muttering harder, want him to push harder, want him to more and more, and all of a sudden, pop. And Kobe looks up, and Gary Vitti looks up, and Gary Vitti goes, "I think that was a good pop." And everyone said in the locker room who was around that you could hear the pop from the training room into the locker room. It was that audible. They said Kobe got up off the training table, put his foot down, bounced up and down a little bit, and said, "I can play tomorrow night."
Mamba out.
I mean, I think that was a good pop.
Yeah.
Like when Vitti said, he said, "Okay, this is either what I'm going to do is either going to be very good or very bad.
Right.
It's either going to put you out for the playoffs or you're going to be able to play tomorrow night." And Kobe's like, "I have to play.
Yeah.
No matter what, I have to. So we have to figure it out." And that's, I mean.
The coolest thing about that, Drew.
I'm playing tomorrow night. Not I can. Not I think I can go. I'm gonna play tomorrow.
Just the fact that he's in pain, but he wants more pain. I mean, and you saw him this year.
Yeah.
He dislocated his finger, went to Gary Vitti during a tie.
Pop me.
Boom, pop it back in.
Pop me back in.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's a great story there from Kobe. And Kobe's just one more 30-second here story. Devin George, you know, one of the players that was Kobe's teammate, they all love Jay-Z, right?
Yeah.
Kobe would memorize Jay-Z's lyrics right when they came out and would just be rapping them on the plane, rapping them on the court. And these guys are like, it came out yesterday. How do you know? It just he's learned how to play Beethoven for his wife from ear. Yeah. He's just a different breed,
Jay-Z,
man.
I say Jay-Z got to take on that game ball too, right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool watching.
That was pretty cool right there.
And no question.
Hey, I don't know if I've told my Jordan story on this show yet, but it kind of shows the similarity between those two guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a Sacramento Kings Jordan story. So Chris Webber was
got about 1 minute, Drew.
Okay, Chris Webber was walking through the players' parking lot in Chicago because that's how you have to get into the American Airlines Center. You walk through the players' parking lot. So he walks by Michael Jordan, who's leaned up against his Lamborghini at the time, or Ferrari, whatever he was driving, with a cigar in his mouth before the game.
Yeah.
Before the game, smoking a cigar. And, you know, Chris Webber, you know, kind of like walks by with his head down, didn't want to, you know, get engaged with Mike. And he goes, and Mike puffs his cigar and goes, "Hey, Chris, who's checking me tonight?" Just who's going to guard me tonight? Yeah. Who am I going to embarrass tonight?
The ultimate confidence.
That's the same. I feel like that's him and Kobe on the same level. Kobe and Michael, there's a lot of comparisons.
There is. And Whitlock made a great example. Yes, did Kobe kind of follow MJ? Yes, but at the same time, the guts to follow the greatest player of all time, that's what makes Kobe great. So, folks, the NFL draft started yesterday, and we are going to talk about it coming up next. DJ Winter, a PLU football player, will be a guest. Kind of a guest host, if you will, folks. He'll be talking about the NFL draft along with Christian and I, as well as Drew, if he can either stay here or he might have to go to class. We'll find out after the break. This is Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes.
Boys will be boys. No more. What's the big deal? No more. It's just the way he is.
No more. He just has a temper.
No more. But he's such a nice guy.
No more. But he has such a bright future.
No more. Not my problem.
No more. I'll say something next time.
No more. Why didn't she tell anyone?
No more. Why doesn't she just leave?
No more. I'm sure they'll work it out.
No more. She seems fine to me.
No more. What was she wearing?
No more. She was drunk.
No more. He was drunk.
No more. She was asking for it.
No more. She never said no.
No more. Not in this family.
No more. Not on this team.
No more. We don't talk about that.
No more bystanding.
No more ignorance.
No more excuses. No more.
Welcome back, folks, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. This show is a convergence of mass media with Laser, Loot Air Student Radio. If at any time you want to join in the conversation, folks, call the show at 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. Folks, we have a very, very special guest in front of us here. He's a pizza time delivery guy. He delivers the dough. He also delivers the goods on the football field. Starting tight end, number 87, DJ Winter.
What's up, guys?
Let's give him a round of applause here, folks. So, DJ, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, DJ, you have a brother. Mm-hmm. You have two brothers, actually.
Yeah.
You know, one goes to PLU. Yep. One's in high school. How much fun is it playing with your brother on the football field? You see him in the weight room, you see him in class, you see him in the chow hall. Do you like that? Do you wish that you had your own experience, or do you like having your brother at college with you?
Well, we kind of grew up playing on the same sports teams, just kind of all throughout the years, and it really came together in high school. We started like really becoming like really close, and I remember my senior night, probably my best memory of us playing together, my senior night. We combined for 5 touchdowns, and
you had four, he had one.
I had 3, he had 2, and he ended up catching the game-winning touchdown, and there's a picture that my mom has of us kind of like just hugging and celebrating together, and that was a really special moment.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember, like, at the end of my senior year, I was kind of nervous because I kind of wanted him to play with me again, just, like, based on that senior year, and it ended up working out perfectly, and him coming here.
That's big time. So, you know, you went to Mexico for spring break, and, you know, I read your Instagram bio. I love it. It says you want to have every night kind of be like you're in Mexico. Talk about your spring break to Mexico. Should every college, you know, student even student athletes, should they try to get away for spring break? I went to Arizona. I think Drew went to Texas. I think Christian went to, I think you went to Connecticut. Just kidding.
I stayed here and worked. So yeah, it probably was better. All so the three of you guys probably had way better.
I thought you were at the worldwide leader of the mothership over there in Connecticut.
I was in Lutville.
You were in Lutville.
I had the time of my life. It was great.
DJ, talk about Mexico. How much fun was that? I know you got to bring your brothers. You went with your mom. How much fun was that trip?
Well, I mean, it was, I think every college student should try and get away at least a couple years for spring break. It's just like really refreshing. And I mean, coming back from that, it kind of sucks because you just didn't want to go back to school, but it was like so refreshing and like energized me to finish up spring semester really well. And just like a way to take my mind off of things. It was really fun.
It kind of helped charge the batteries, if you will. Mm-hmm. And obviously PLU is a tough school. So academically, so to be able to take a break, kind of catch your breath, catch some sun. I know that had to be a fun time for you.
Yeah, it was really fun. Really fun. Times with the family.
That's awesome. Last question before we get into NFL draft here, DJ. You work at Pizza Time, like I mentioned. How much fun is that? Do you get to kind of engage with your customers? I mean, what's it like being a pizza driver?
Do you engage with the pizza?
There you go. Every once in a while, I get some pizza. I try to limit myself, so, you know, stay on a good diet.
Carbo load, right?
Yeah, I mean, Pizza Time's great. Delivering pizzas, like, I started out first guy in my house doing it, and I think now...
Like, six guys do it now. It's so funny. Yeah, Tabby, John, Bo now.
Yep, Bo and Connor.
Bo and Connor does too.
I think all of my housemates do it except for one.
Darren. Yeah, Darren does too.
It's such a great college job. I mean, the tips help out. And then on top of that, you get wage. It averages out to about like $20 to $25 an hour. And like, let's say I work three nights, I'll have like maybe $200 in my pocket.
Oh my gosh.
For like just spending cash.
Yeah.
It's just a great
for rent,
college,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yep. Steroids. I'm just kidding. That's awesome. So obviously, guys, the last night, you know, the NFL draft was on, and I love the draft. I mean, it's so much fun to watch these guys who are in college, as like we are, being able to have that dream to play, you know, in the NFL. And I think the first pick for the Los Angeles Rams, I think Jared Goff, in my opinion, that was a solid pick. I think everybody knew that he was going to be the number one pick. He kind of reminds me of Brady. He's a little bit lean. He's kind of like Matt Ryan. He's not that, obviously, and he's only in college, so he has some time to kind of get bulky. That's why I love Russell Wilson, because he can take a hit. He's kind of, you know, he's not fat, but he's big. He has that muscle, kind of that muscle bound to him. So I think the only downfall of Jared Goff is he might be a little bit too skinny, but I think he could come into the league and honestly start, and I think that's why the Rams drafted him to start for them. Obviously, we'll talk about Carson Wentz in a second here, but I think Jared Goff was the right pick for the Rams. How do you feel about that, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, that moving to a new city, they're going to need a new quarterback to kind of – I think that's one of the things that team has been missing. They've had a great defense. It's shut down the Seahawks a couple times.
Yeah.
They beat up on the Seahawks. I mean, yeah, it's a good, solid pick.
Yeah, I agree with Kellen and Christian there. I think it's a great pick, especially for LA, moving to a new city. Goff has always been a SoCal boy.
Right.
And he grew up kind of with no NFL team there, and I just think he'll be a great person for that franchise to kind of embody what Los Angeles is all about.
Totally. And I think if you don't have an NFL franchise quarterback, you're not going to be very good. You look at the Browns, you know, you look at the Jaguars. I mean, teams that have just not been able to get over that hump. And it always starts with the quarterback. So, number two, the Philadelphia Eagles traded up to get Carson Wentz. And it's interesting, Sam Bradford, his insecurity, I like to call him floppy sleeves, as Colin Coward calls him. But, I mean, obviously, you know, now Bradford's kind of worried about his job. I think Carson Wentz is a solid quarterback as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think he should come in and start right away. That's why I think if I'm Sam Bradford, I get to mentor this kid. Mm-hmm. I get to compete, you know, through the next years. We're going to make each other better. Obviously, he's out of North Dakota State, which is Division I AA. They play teams like Montana. So I know, DJ, we have some buddies that play in that league as well. And so I know some of the NFL teams were a little bit nervous about the competition that he played against. Mm-hmm. But I think Carson Wentz is solid. I think, like I said, I think he's more of a year two, year three starter. I don't think he's quite ready right now. Mm-hmm. But honestly, not many guys are. So I think this guy is kind of a work in progress. But again, for those two quarterbacks to be picked first and second, I think is a good call. Your thoughts on Carson, DJ?
I think he's a solid pick. Like you said, kind of come in, wait a couple years. But I think his upside might be greater than Goff's.
Wow.
So, like, once he gets a couple years underneath his belt, gets the offense, and then I think he'll be able to step in there and kind of take over the franchise for Philadelphia and lead them in a positive manner and maybe even to a Super Bowl if they get a good enough defense around him.
Absolutely. Your thoughts, Christian, on Carson?
Definitely going to be a competition there between Sam Bradford and Carson Wentz up there in Philadelphia. It'll be fun to watch, really figure it out. I don't know why Sam Bradford has been so hurt about this decision. He hasn't really proven much.
Right.
He can't stay on the field. And if you can't stay on the field, you got to have a good second guy, even if he does win the job and get hurt in week two. I mean, what can you do about an injury?
Right, exactly.
He's got to knock that S off his chest.
Yes, absolutely.
I like it, DJ. I like it. Now, the third pick, guys, I'll be honest with you, I don't know a lot about this guy, Joey Bosa. He's a defensive end from Ohio State. The San Diego Chargers are the ones that drafted him. I know Heine, who we had in the studio last week, is a big Chargers guy. He's from San Diego. You know, looking at the Chargers, obviously they have Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, guys like that. Offensively, they're pretty solid. So I think picking a defensive end for them, you know, it's solid. You know, obviously you want to draft where you're needed, and I think they did need it. Obviously, a defensive stud, and Joey Bosa could be that guy. DJ,
yeah, I agree with the pick. A lot of boards had Jalen Ramsey. Right. But I heard a stat, I think they were 27th in rushing yards per game on their defense. So I think Bosa will fit the mold really well, and he'll be able to definitely make an impact in his first year and help that defense out with the rush.
Hasn't Bosa been closely mirrored to J.J. Watt?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
I mean, if you read, like, there's been side-by-sides of him and his numbers and his size and all that stuff to J.J. Watt.
I did see that, yeah. So, I remember seeing that.
I mean, if you're getting that with the third overall pick,
yeah,
that'll work. Gosh. That'll play.
Mm-hmm. I want to be compared to J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Jeez. Number four, and this is a classic pick by Jerry Jones. The Dallas Cowboys select Ezekiel Elliott. Did you guys see what he was wearing last night? The crop top. Yep. You can kind of see the four.
High fashion.
That's awesome. Obviously, out of Ohio State, you know, the Cowboys offensively, they're going to be loaded next year. Obviously, Lord willing, Romo comes back healthy. Des Bryant's a stud. They got some other good, decent receivers. Obviously, Jason Witten, a big-time tight end. DJ, you're a tight end, so I'm sure you can attest to that. But, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, I think he could come in and start. Obviously, they're missing DeMarco Murray, who, you know, is now a Titan, which is a great choice there for the Tennessee Titans. But I really think Ezekiel can come in and play right away. But I think the Cowboys are going to be hurt defensively. I think they're going to need to win games 40-38 in order to kind of make the playoffs. DJ?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I think if Bosa would have still been on the board, they would have taken Bosa. But, I mean, you already have McFadden, Dunbar, Alfred Morris, guys like that on your roster. And I mean, anyone can run behind that offensive line.
And McFadden didn't do bad last year.
I know. I mean, so the Elliott pick, it kind of surprised me a little bit. I think they could have went defensively. But, I mean, you're getting a great running back, and it'll definitely make an impact. I think he'll start.
You know Jerry loves to sell tickets.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
So I'll pose the question to both you guys. Was that a bad pick for the Cowboys? Would you call? Oh, yep, bad pick. That was terrible. Like media likes to do, we are that. So
yeah, exactly.
I would give them about maybe a C for their draft. Just draft grade.
Just
here.
Don't know yet.
Yeah, just don't know.
I think it could be a tough deal of the week, Christian, because I'm kind of on both sides. I think they did have McFadden, so it wasn't like they didn't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're needed in defensive. They need a defensive line. Obviously, Greg Hardy's. They're not going to touch him again. So I think Christian. Now that you kind of asked me that question, I do think looking back at first, you're excited, Ezekiel Elliott. He's a star. But he's a guy. Is he a guy? Is he a glue guy? Can he make the team better? I think offensively he can, but at the same time, I think they needed more on the defensive end. So I would say no, actually, Christian.
Yep.
The fifth pick of the draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars, obviously a struggling franchise. They chose Jalen Ramsey, defensive back out of Florida State. And it was interesting this year. I don't know if you guys watched it live. They almost roasted every single pick. You saw Gruden. You saw Berman. They talked about kind of their downfalls, which I honestly love because it's like, you know, obviously in the NFL draft, we know everyone's great.
Yep.
But what are they not good at? What do they struggle with? How are they in crisis?
Yep.
And I thought they showed some interesting plays of Jalen Ramsey kind of giving up on some plays, not really hustling that much. Can he kind of have that close the gap kind of speed when that ball's in the air? So, I mean, I think he's a great athlete, and I think he is a good pick. But it was interesting how this was the first year, and so many guys tweeted about it. It's like, I mean, all of our emails, DJ, were tweeting like, geez, they're greasing these guys. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also good to show some downfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gus Bradley, he's a great defensive coach, and I think he'll be able, once Ramsey gets in there, Gus will be able to coach him up, and hopefully he'll teach him how to knock off all those, like, not hustling to the ball, right, stuff like that. Because if you don't do that in the NFL, you're not going to play.
Exactly.
You're
not the speed only gets faster.
Yeah, you're not going to have a prosperous career. So, I mean, he's got to choose to start hustling to the ball and do stuff like that. And I think Gus Bradley will get that out of him.
Awesome. Christian?
Yeah, I don't know much about this guy.
Okay, so, I respect it. Yeah, I respect it. Defensive. Number six, the Baltimore Ravens selected Ronnie Stanley, an offensive tackle from Notre Dame. You know, I don't really know much about Ronnie, but I know Joe Flacco's injury history. I think he does need another solid lineman to come in and help protect him. So I do like this pick by the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, not a big Notre Dame fan, but hey, most important position in football on the line is left tackle, and if he can protect Flacco coming off of that ACL injury, then hey, it's a good pick.
Christian, you agree with that?
Yeah, you got to protect your quarterback. Got to keep him upright.
The seventh pick of the draft was by the San Francisco 49ers. They drafted DeForest Buckner, a DN out of Oregon. And, you know, you look at the 49ers, I mean, they're kind of a cluster bunch right now. A lot of things aren't quite going right for them. You know, their new head coach and Chip Kelly this year. Who's going to be the quarterback? Is it Kaepernick? I mean, all that kind of stuff. But I think they did need to focus on the defensive side of the ball. I've seen some highlights, you know, Pac-12, Oregon team. Mm-hmm. I think Butler's a good pick for them.
Yeah, and Chip Kelly loves his Pac-12 players.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Exactly. Oregon, of course. That's
Chip Kelly picked an Oregon guy? Wow.
Yeah. Shocking, right?
But, I mean, this guy will be good. He'll be right next to his former teammate, Eric Armstead, on the D-line. And I mean, he's a beast of a man. I think he's 6'8".
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe
and moves pretty well for a 6'8" guy.
Yeah. So I mean, he's definitely going to make an impact his first year, I'm pretty sure.
And then the Tennessee Titans, they drafted Conklin. He's in
Conklin
at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously they have Mariota. They have Murray. They got to stay healthy. So I think this is a great pick by them. And this guy also, you watch some of the highlights. I mean, he was running, especially on bubble screens. You saw this guy, you know, going down there at the point of attack. And so I think this is a good call by the Titans.
Yeah, this guy's a hard worker. Started out as a walk-on. Worked his way all the way up until his senior year when he was an All-American. And a big mauler for that run game with DeMarco Murray. I think it's a great pick.
We're going to actually skip here, 9 and 10. Sorry, Bears and Giants fans, because we're kind of, you know, due to time constraints here. DJ, you play with Josh Garnett.
Yep.
He was selected 28th overall by the San Francisco 49ers. Do you have a quick one-minute story of Josh that you remember from high school?
Yeah. So I remember I was just a little sophomore, scout team defensive end, running against our first team offense. And I would try my absolute hardest to sack the quarterback, but I could not get around Josh. And I think once he got to college, like in high school, I mean, he obviously talent-wise, he was better than everybody.
Right.
So I don't think he really like got the he was good,
yeah,
but didn't get the best out
in a way he kind of played down to the level, mm-hmm, you know, of competition.
Yeah, and I mean, once he got to college, you really saw that beast come out of him. And I mean, he's just a mammoth of a man and just a huge, like, you don't want to get in front of this guy because he will maul you. And it's a great pick for the 49ers and their zone running game.
And it's so cool because it's like in high school, and my dad, he's always critical, he just said, gosh, he's lazy. But and could you make the argument he was lazy in high school?
Yep,
probably,
definitely.
Just because he kind of had the talent, he's always been bigger. Mm-hmm. But to see him work his butt off and not, you know, just be scared of the Division I coaches, and to see him work through that was so much fun to see. And obviously a guy, a Puyallup native there, DJ, is fun for us to kind of see him do so well.
Yep.
Obviously the Seattle Seahawks, our homeland here, wearing the sweatshirt here, you know, they draft Jermaine. How do you say that last name there, Christian?
I think it's Afidi.
Afidi? Afidi, DJ? Yeah, Afidi.
Afidi.
At a Texas A&M. And obviously, if Russell Wilson gets hurt, in my opinion, the Seahawks, I don't even think they're a playoff
team. Do they even have a backup quarterback right now?
I think, is it still Tavares Jackson?
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah. Is he gone?
We haven't signed him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, we better not get hurt then. Jeez. Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to call up John Shaw. But, but for us to get a guy that can protect, I think Russell Wilson was a great pick by Pete Carroll. And, you know, the Seahawks coaching staff and obviously up in the office there. So I think it's a good pick. I think we, you know, defensively, I think we're pretty solid right now. And I think, you know, with Okun leaving, I think we needed somebody to kind of fill a spot. What do you think, Deej?
I think he'll obviously come in and compete for the left tackle position, which, like I said, most important position on the line in football. And if you can protect Russ, then I think it'll be a great pick. I'm kind of surprised it didn't go defensive tackle. Maybe with like A'shaun Robinson from Alabama.
Yeah.
Is who I thought they were going to draft. They
I
almost
knew, I knew it was going to be a lineman, just didn't know if it was offense or defense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And obviously, you got to improve up front if you're the Seahawks after last year. But I think it'll be a great pick. I've heard a lot of great things about him.
Awesome.
Yeah, how old is he? Is he a senior?
I think he was a senior, yep.
So a guy at a Texas A&M, has drafted for a quarterback or blocked for a quarterback mm-hmm. who moves like Russell Wilson does. Mm-hmm.
Johnny Manziel, exactly.
Interesting.
Great point there, Chris.
Interesting.
Well, DJ, thanks so much for coming in the studio, man. This
no problem.
Fun.
It's been awesome.
Awesome. Hopefully we'll have you again sometime in the future here. Folks, what a show it's been, and unfortunately it's coming close to a close here. Lacey Nicholson is joining us in the studio for Lacey's Losers coming up next.
All right. For Lacey's Losers this week, we're going to cover a story that broke this week. Men had to read tweets to women in sports. We're not going to go to a break. We're going to listen to the tweets. We're going to listen to the men read the tweets to the women's face. It's important that you hear this because this is what Lacey's Losers is going to be based off of. So here it is.
Start a petition for a ban on all links to Julie DeCaro's Twitter feed.
Okay.
Hi.
Sarah.
All right, you ready to do some mean tweets?
I'm ready.
Sarah Spain sounds like a nagging wife on TV today.
Not even married yet.
Julie DeCaro is a run-of-the-mill, mediocre beat writer.
Not atrocious, not good.
Just sorta there.
I'm actually not a beat writer at all, but okay.
Sarah Spain is just a scrub muffin.
I don't even know what a scrub muffin is.
I don't either.
I love muffins.
One of the players should beat you to death with their hockey stick. Like the whore you are.
I'm just reading this.
Okay.
I mean, okay, this is why we don't hire any females unless we need our sucked or our food cooked.
Sarah Spain is a self-important know-it-all. Okay. Just read the tweets, man. There's some mean tweets.
F this dumb.
There's a lot of C word.
There's a lot of C words. In yeah. Here.
Yeah. I hope your dog gets hit by a car, you.
Hopefully, this skank Julie DeCaro is Bill Cosby's next victim. That would be classic.
I don't know what to say to that.
I don't. I don't think I can even say that.
I hope your boyfriend beats you. I'm sorry.
Why bring up your own rape in this story? Is it your way of firing back at critics who said you can't get any?
That's something, huh?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So I have to read all of them, right? Because, I mean, I don't.
Read them, I guess.
I hope you get raped again.
Oh.
I'm having trouble looking at you when I'm saying these mm-hmm. things. Sarah Spain is a I would hate. Okay.
You need to be hit in the head with a hockey puck and killed. That's it.
Sorry that these were directed toward you.
I'm sorry on behalf of other people everywhere that you had to deal with this.
I feel like I need to apologize to my mother, but to be that's a whole nother story.
The message written on the screen is we wouldn't say it to their faces, so let's not type it. Lacey Nicholson, you're in studio.
Hello.
Let's go ahead and talk about this.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys were all able to hear that, because I was going to encourage everyone to go watch that video. But I had promised I'd talk about Cam Newton this week, but I think Christian raised my awareness of something a bit more current and a bit more relevant to me as a woman who aspires to be in the sports broadcasting industry. So as you guys heard, the New York Daily News recently came out with a video campaign with the effort to raise awareness of the online harassment towards female sports writers and broadcasters. And wow, I'm honestly speechless right now just hearing it again. It's hard to talk about, but that's some deep stuff. And I think that's something that females in the sports industry have to go through on a daily basis. And I guess as I sit here and I'm the only female in the studio right now, I guess I'm just curious to ask you guys your level of awareness of this topic and of what goes on in these ladies' lives.
Well, that's the first time, Lacey and Christian, that I was able to see/hear that video. And it honestly makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, to see what men, how they think of women and how they think of women in the world of sports. And I mean, it is just not only even the world of sports, just in general, but now we obviously, like Lacey said, these women that are aspiring, you know, sports broadcasters, just to see how these men think and what they like that. And that's a great ending to that video. You won't say it to their face, but you'll type it. How cowardly is that? Mm-hmm. You know? And oh my gosh, like it's embarrassing, Christian, to even be, you know, associated with the male species right now. I mean, I'm being so right? serious. Like, yeah. This is like, it's really just ugly. And I mean, seriously, how cowardly is that? And I wish I could, you know, meet those guys that tweeted those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not fun to sit here and listen to any of that stuff. I think that people need to realize that, you know, social media is as real as anything else that happens in this world. People, like you said, it's cowardly. People hide behind the screen, but those words really do, you know, carry an effect to what they say.
And what drives these people to tweet such nasty things? I mean, I get people are passionate about sports, and if you're not on the playing field, I mean, you're gonna be a fan, and you're gonna get pumped about games and stuff. But the things that those people were tweeting towards those women had nothing to do with athletics at all.
Right,
it had nothing to do with the performance of that of those women in their jobs. It was personal attacks on their appearance and on their personal lives, which is just completely unnecessary. It's just bullying.
It really, truly is. I mean, who am I? You know, Lacey, if you're covering a basketball team, who am I to tell you what to write and what not to write?
Right.
You played basketball in college. You got your degree in journalism. You are qualified.
And I would bet that the people tweeting those things have no idea of the backgrounds of these females.
No.
Yeah.
It's just.
But even if Lacey didn't play basketball, even if she's never touched a basketball, you still don't tweet those things.
No.
I mean, right. I don't. I mean, obviously, yes. Do you have the background? Do you have the resume to be able to do those things? Those are all true. And yes, are there times where even there's some times where there's some broadcasters that I'm just like, even guys or gals, doesn't matter who it is. It's just like, are they reading a teleprompter or is this actually knowledge? So mm-hmm. I understand. I mean, I'm not giving them a pass at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's just. And it's one of those things where it's just like, I mean, oh my gosh, it really irks me, guys. Like that would even be, that guys even do that. And because you don't see gals, you don't see women doing that.
Mm-mm.
And is it okay for guys to do that? And it's pretty, I mean, folks, I really encourage you to, I mean, it's one thing to hear, it's one thing to actually see that video. Just watching the guys scroll and watch them read off the screen.
And they can't even look at the girls in the eyes.
Can't even almost finish what they're saying because they're so, you know, doggone embarrassed. I mean, that is just, that's unbelievable. And it's so much fun for me to sit here and do this live because I had no idea this was even a topic and to be able to really see what this is all about. And it's just like, I mean, normally on this radio show, we enjoy doing fun things, but this is one of those things where it's a very serious matter. and this is almost a frustrating deal as well. I mean, I'm going to leave and almost just kind of not talk to anybody for a while because it's so embarrassing.
Yeah, and I would say, too, there are more attacks towards the performance of women in their jobs. These ones were more personal, but do you think if you were to read an article on the latest sporting event without even seeing the author's name, would you two be able to differentiate if it were a male or a female who wrote that article?
Absolutely not.
I'm guessing not. And I think just seeing the name at the front of the article, if it's a female's name, a lot of people might go in reading that article, maybe not even read that article, or go in reading it with a different perspective, like, oh, it's a female.
Go in with a bias saying, oh, I'm going to just pick apart this article because it's a female.
Yep.
Yep, exactly, Lacey. That's so true. Oh, my goodness. Guys, I'm fired up. This is unbelievable. It really is.
Yeah, but I do think, I don't know. I mean, a female's perspective in this industry is so valuable just because they are such a minority. And that's why I love being here, because mm-hmm. I'm a female voice, you know?
Right.
Even if I'm not even talking about female athletics, which I try to incorporate, I'm still a female voice. I'm a female perspective, which I think is extremely valuable. And I think people don't even want to give that a chance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think really there's two messages to walk away with, you know, from this video, from this PSA that has been developed from the video, is that, you know, if someone is qualified to do their job,
let them,
regardless
do it.
Of gender,
mm-hmm.
let them do their job.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is. Sports writing, you know, news anchor, garbage person. It doesn't matter. If you're qualified, they're doing their job. They're doing what they are supposed to do.
Right.
Take it for what it's worth.
You don't see those ladies tweeting at those guys that tweeted those things. I mean, who knows what they do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see them tweeting, hey, you know, you should have delivered that garbage a little bit better. You know what I mean? You don't see them doing that. And
yeah.
It's just like, oh my gosh, for those, I mean, just the, they have no self-awareness. And mm-hmm. I think it is so, and honestly, guys, I can sit here and say, have I tweeted things that I wish I could have taken back? Absolutely. But nothing even close to the extent of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one time where I tweeted something along the lines of, like, you know, and in a way you can kind of compare it to this, and I have no shame in telling you guys my mistake. I tweeted something like, no, this was during the Ray Rice thing. And Ray Rice obviously was alleged and, you know, beating up his girlfriend and stuff like that. And I tweeted something like, oh, because I had heard it and I was trying to be the funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, we just put into play called Ray Rice, and the route is all left hooks.
Hmm.
And I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
And then I sat back and said, I showed my little sister the tweet. I'm expecting a female.
Yeah.
And it's just like killing. And this is my 13-year-old sister at the time. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so some guys don't even think that. And obviously that compared to that, no. But still, it's kind of along those lines. And I think we have to have, you know, an awareness of what we tweet, you know, and almost, it's almost like we should have an app, you know. We have something that we want to tweet. Let's send it to an app. Is it okay? Who's it going to affect? Who's it going to upset? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's important to realize, because, like, the main emphasis of the video is, would these people actually be able to say these things to their faces? And definitely not. I mean, the men who were reading the tweets were not even the ones who wrote them, and they couldn't look them in the eyes.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and I don't know. I just think the way social media is progressing, people just kind of lose that in the back of their minds, that this is actually hurting someone, that there is actually someone on the other side of this tweet that you're directing it towards reading it. And DeCaro said how she receives these tweets almost every minute of the day, and how hurtful is that to her, and how can she persevere through her job when receiving these tweets so frequently. And she said that she really rallies up with other females in the industry, because they all receive these kind of tweets. So they really support each other in that, which I think is great. And I have massive amount of respect for the women who persevere through this.
And the whole Aaron Andrews scandal.
Right.
And look at look at these pioneers, Linda Cohn, Carrie Champion. You know, you can go along the list, Linda Cohn, Lisa Salters, all these amazing, you know, sports broadcasters that are females. Obviously Aaron Andrews, you can throw in there as well. And it's just like some people, you know, they can't even respect them because they are female. And it's truly sad, because in my opinion, they're a lot better than some of the guy broadcasters as well.
Yeah.
They bring in a different light, a different voice, just a different perspective of what sports are all about. And it's just, it's really, really too bad. And that's why I think, should WNBA, be on the big networks? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't.
Why not?
Exactly. I mean, NBA is, so why can't WNBA? Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I think it's almost funny, too. I know we have about a minute left here. They were going to lower the hoops for WNBA. And Diana Taurasi, who plays for the Phoenix Mercury, said, are you kidding me? What are we, children? No, yeah. We want the same level that the NBA guys get, mm-hmm. because they love that competitiveness. And I love that as a female. Lacey, I'm sure you can attest to that.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
so, Lacey, give us your final thoughts here on this week's Lacey's Losers.
I just think the people who are tweeting these things, I mean, Kellen hit on it earlier, they're not losers. They're complete cowards. We don't know these people, but in my opinion, I think they're probably the people that are looking up to these women, envious, basically, of their jobs.
Jealous.
And
yeah.
Totally jealous of the success that they have. And it's just totally cowardly of them to be tweeting these things.
So, Lacey, thank you for coming on and talking about that.
Thank you.
I know it was tough.
Lacey,
it was tough for everyone.
Thank you very
here.
Much. Yeah, seriously, that's very... It's one of those things that, like I said, Christian, we're going to leave this studio. Normally we leave on a good note, but this is like, hey, I'm aware of this now. And it's sad that I wasn't, but sometimes you just don't really think that happens, but it does.
Right.
You don't think kids get molested at Catholic Church, that spotlight movie, but it does. You know what I mean? So that's a perfect Lacey Loser. Lacey, thank you so much. So, folks, we are just about done here with Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Make sure to listen to Laser all weekend to hear cool shows throughout the weekend. Today has been so much fun, folks. We really look forward to this podcast coming up, hopefully sometime next week. Christian Bond does a great job of supplying that with us. I am Kellen Westring.
And I'm Christian Bond. Tune in to the show next week on Friday from 11 to 1 p.m. We're out of here. See ya.